Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I think, again, you talk out two sides of your mouth. On one hand, they all count one, and you got to find, you know, the wins wherever you can get them, and you're not going to, you know, really differentiate one over another. They all count one. I think then you can also talk about how NFC South games, you know, sort of count a little more because the goal is to win the South and be able to host a playoff game. So,
yep, that's the goal. Welcome back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Divisional play begins today. First of three straight NFC South games for the Atlanta Falcons. Wade Ford Tailgate Show is brought to you in part by Fireshire from the W Sauce. Bigger, better, bolder, and now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com. to find a Fireshire retailer near you. And by the way, if you just want to come to where we are in our new lot, the W Sauce is right smack next to us. You can try the breakfast sauce. You can try the Fireshire. It's all right here. Our new lot on Northside Drive at the corner of Northside and Markham, down the street, I guess, is more technically correct, from the Friendship Tower here. John Fricke and Joe Patrick with you. And so what Kirk Cousins was talking about divisional play beginning. Now, one of the things that's true about this schedule, Joe, and we talked about it at the beginning of the year, is the first three games. And now Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and Kansas City. And now you get into three straight division games with two in the span of 5 days, both at home. And then you play Carolina on the road to Carolina. Then by week 11, by the time you get to the bye, you will have played five of your six divisional games. And the only right. other divisional game you'll have is the end of the year, last game of the year, here at Mercedes-Benz against Carolina. If you get behind the eight ball, you have no way to make it up.
Right, right. There are such pivotal weeks. And I think that what we've been talking about with this team not having its identity or not really publicly kind of finding that, fans kind of intuitively understanding that, is that these games are so important coming up, and you would like to kind of know exactly what your team is, what they're capable of, et cetera, at this point in the season before you go into those incredibly critical games. And I think that's why there's just like a little bit of trepidation, I guess I would say. I mean, I still think this team is confident in itself and the players are confident, but you know, I think that's where they find themselves at this stage of the season.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, John Fricke, along with Joe Patrick. Let's talk about the injury and the injury situation. Both teams are a little banged up, especially on the offensive line for both teams, and what that means for both of these offenses, for Derek Carr and for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, so I think most critically is that both of these teams have lost their starting centers for this game. They've both gone on IR, Drew Dolman for the Falcons and Eric McCoy for the Saints. Now, Eric McCoy is the captain of that team. He's a Pro Bowler. He is probably of higher stature within that organization and that roster than Drew Dolman is. Probably a bigger loss in terms of the center. But regardless, that's a tough pill to swallow for both teams. Now, where it gets tricky for the Saints is that they've also lost Cesar Ruiz for this game, who's their starting guard, second-year player.
Ryan Ramczyk at the beginning of the year.
Right, well, that's a big one. Yeah, they lost Ryan Ramczyk. His career might be over. We'll see. But they're really down a lot of players on that interior, and that's going to be something that I think the Falcons have the potential to take advantage of. But let's go through specifically who is out for the Saints. Like I said, Cesar Ruiz, two big ones. Questionable. They should be game-time decisions. Are Chris Olave and Alvin Kamara. Now, we expect Kamara to play. I've read reports that Olave is also expected to play, despite the fact that he came up with this hamstring situation on a Friday. But he was limited in that practice. And, again, Ian Rappaport said that he is expected to play today.
When you have a wide receiver that has a hamstring issue, are you inclined to put somebody like A.J. Terrell on him and press cover him and make him have to work to get off the line?
You know, I think that they'll probably test him. I think they'll test him like that. I think that, you know, these receivers, though, have been the ones that have tended to give A.J. trouble. He's a big guy, big physical corner. He likes the bigger battles. It's sometimes these quicker, smaller guys who can get away from him, but we'll see. I mean, I think that they'll throw a lot of different options
at him. Forget about A.J. Terrell. Would they be inclined to press cover him?
Yeah, I think they...
In other words, not cushion him. Go ahead and make him work to have to, you know, start quickly on that hamstring.
Yeah, I think they'll try to do that. And then they'll see how it goes, because Olave is also a great route runner, and if you try to, you know, kind of pressure those guys, the line of scrimmage, they can get a good release, stack the corner, and kind of have their way with them. So I think it's going to be a bit of a cat and mouse game as to how they approach it, but I think that they're definitely going to try to test him as much as they can to see where his weak spots are.
All right, how about the Falcons?
For the Falcons, like I said, they're missing Drew Dolman. Caleb McGarry is also going to be out of this game at right tackle. The Falcons had a couple other guys pop up on the injury report late in the week. Bijan Robinson and Matthew Judon were limited on Thursday, but they were both full participants on Friday. They are going to play in today's game. So other than McGarry and Dolman, I think the Falcons are in pretty much everybody else is going to play, which is good for them.
Well, they signed Matt Hennessy back to the team. There was a time where Matt Hennessy was ahead of Drew Dolman on the depth chart last year, and Dolman took the job. How much faith do you have that Hennessy can handle that position? Because we saw what happened when they went to New Zealand last week. It turned into a bit of a problem.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's a great question. I don't want to see Matt Hennessy if we can avoid it in this game. he's an emergency reserve guy. We'll see. He was obviously a starter in 2021, but he dealt with so many injury issues with his knee in particular. Over the course of the better part of time that I've been covering the team, I know he's been a major question mark, but he's got familiarity with these guys. I think it's one of the reasons why you just see him immediately elevated to the game day squad after having just been signed, is because he has familiarity not just with the players, but with offensive line and now run game coordinator Dwayne Ledford. He knows exactly what he wants, knows the scheme, knows the language and all that. So at least you have a guy who you feel like you can plug in there and knows what he's doing when he gets out there.
Joe, the book on Caleb McGarry is great run blocker, really struggles in pass pro because he doesn't have quick feet. So is Storm Norton a downgrade in the run game and an upgrade in the pass pro, or how does that work?
That's kind of how I see it, honestly, although I wouldn't say he's a major upgrade in the pass pro. I think that Caleb McGarry's pass protection gets a little bit overstated. Obviously, he has issues with some specific kinds of rushers and some of the top guys in the NFL. Like, a lot of tackles are going to struggle. McGarry, struggles probably more than some of those other tackles, but I think he gives you so much in the run game. I think the Falcons are going to miss him, and we've talked about it, John, earlier in the show, about how important it's going to be for the Falcons to establish that running game with behind Bijan Robinson. And how well will they be able to do that with a guy like Storm Norton in at right tackle? Can they kind of still run the same kind of stuff, get the same kind of movement on the line of scrimmage that they would get with Caleb McGarry? Probably not, honestly, if we're just being realistic about it. So maybe they have to try to figure out some different ways, some different schemes to try to get some movement, get some open lanes.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point, because I think you've seen with Bijan, you go back to last year, in the run-heavy offense, they tended to have more success running behind Lindstrom and McGarry on the right side than they did on the left side. But now you may have to look at the left side of Bergeron and, of course, Jake as being maybe the preferential side in order to try to find a crease or two.
Yeah, could be. And I think Matt Bergeron has had a really good start to the year. He's had some struggles on some isolated plays, but overall I think that he's making big leaps as a guard, which as a position, again, we have to reiterate, he had never played before he came to the NFL, got his first kind of reps at guard during the Senior Bowl practices of that draft process. So I think he's been coming around great, and I think that he is a guy that this Falcons team can run behind. By the way, speaking of Jake Matthews, you mentioned him. He did miss some practice this week because he had another child that was born. So congratulations to him on that.
Yeah, congrats to him on that. Part of the Wait For Tailgate Show is brought to you by Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. Well, whenever you're playing the Saints, it seems, I don't know, maybe other teams have this issue. We have an issue with this team. His name is Taysom Hill. He just drives us batty.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude, he is always killed. He is like a Falcons killer.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That guy. Yeah. So, I mean, he killed us more times than I can count.
Yeah. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be a struggle. But, listen, the Saints have good players. Like, the Falcons, they just have to impose themselves on this game. Like there's talent on both sides of the ball here. But the onus is on the Falcons. It's like that's like the challenge that I would put on them if I'm the head coach, is like go out and establish yourself as the best team. Raheem Morris talked about outrunning the NFC South. This is the day where you prove that you can do that. This is the day where you have to challenge your guys. And I remember going into the Saints game here last year, Arthur Smith talked about it after the game, after they had won. He said, you guys should have been at practice this week because it was a freaking war out there. And I hope that there's that same kind of mentality as to how important this game is being emanated from Raheem Morris to this team.
So what do you want to see, Joe, on offense here? Do you want to see that's kind of a layup question, I know. You want to see a lot of points and you want to see a win.
Sure.
But do you want to see them really, you know, kind of get into, you know, some kind of a groove where they are. Right now, I think they sputter. I think at times they go out, they put together a drive, and then they don't follow it up.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, they get into the red zone, which we said, look, the red zone's got to be cleaned up. And look what happened last week in the red zone. In a critical time, they didn't get it done.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, third downs, that's something we haven't really talked about, but that
is going to
be huge in this game. And, like, it's just something that this team has to get corrected. I mean, they have been 2-for-7. Or, I'm sorry, 2-for-9 on third downs in every single game they've played so far this year. That is not a recipe for winning football. It's actually kind of amazing that they do have one win against a very good team in the Eagles, despite having that third down record. So they've got to get that cleared up. And I fear if they don't, then they're probably not going to win this game. You cannot rely, you can't, like, reasonably say, expect to win when you're that bad on third down. Because it's not just about scoring, but it's also, if you're not converting on third downs, then you're putting your defense right back out there. And we've seen that be a problem for the Falcons team through the better part of these last couple games, really, against the Eagles and Chiefs, where the defense has just found themselves out there way too often or too long, and then you see them suffer on the field, and they start giving up yardage, and they can't stop on third down. So it really starts like this vicious cycle if you can't get those third down conversions.
Talk to me a little bit about any difference that you see. We went from Dean Pease into Ryan Nielsen and now to Jimmy Lake. And, you know, we were talking about having to go to this kind of flex hybrid 3-4 on defense. Is it noticeable to you that there's been a change in the defensive tactic of the team, and has it been a positive or a negative overall?
I don't know if I can really. I mean, so there's obviously a big difference from Ryan Nielsen last year, where it's like this totally different scheme. Ryan Nielsen actually liked frankly, what the Saints have done. That's where he came from, and they've traditionally run this kind of, you know, traditional 4-3 with big defensive edges, you know, powerful defensive line, off the ball linebackers, and this is more of a return to what Dean Pease did. And I will actually say that just in, not in terms of like the style of play or how they actually execute, but just in terms of the way that things are playing out, what defined that 2022 Falcons defense was being on the field a lot, not giving up a lot of points. They actually did pretty well in not giving up many points, but they just could not, they were not very effective. They didn't change the game. They didn't create turnovers, and that's kind of been what this team has been. I think this team has the potential to create more turnovers. Obviously, we've seen a little bit of that, but they're going to have to step that up to another level and get themselves off the field a little bit more than they have recently.
Right, and try and flip the field with one of the things. Field position has been an issue again, and having to do long, sustained drives when you're having to go 65, 75, 80 yards. You know, short fields would help with this team. There's no doubt about that. We're talking about the Falcons and the Swampers today. 1 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Some of the keys to the game coming up in just a moment. How does Joe see this game playing out between these two old rivals? Hate Week is commenced. We are at the new lot, our new digs, kind of south on Northside Drive from the Friendship Tower, right off Northside Drive here at Northside and Markham, if you're looking for it on your MapQuest there. Come join us here at the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go! Let's break it!
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, when you're talking about that situation, you're talking about different factors, right? Minnesota's playing style of defense where they're getting the ball back a little bit more. They're doing some different things there. And they're able to score points. And, like, they're getting more chunk yardage plays or whatever the case may be. And you got to find a way to get those things. So it's all kind of stats you can throw up. Maybe it'd be helpful. You know, there is no one way to do it. There's no one way to go about your business. But you definitely know what you want to improve, right? You want to go out there and improve your third down conversion rate so that it will allow you to keep the ball a little bit longer, to play a little bit of the soccer game that we are capable of playing, particularly if we get our run game going. And we can make it look like it did a week ago when you can rush for the 150 type yardage as opposed to the 80s where you can stay on the grass and really be able to dictate terms on how you want to play football.
Because Raheem Morris, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, talking this week about, we mentioned it before, identity. What is the identity on offense of this team? They've yet to establish that, and they've yet to win at home this season, making today's game against the Swampers even more critical. Welcome back to the Wayport Tailgate Show. Some of the keys to the game brought to you by Motlick and Associates. When winning is everything, you call Motlick Injury Attorneys at Pound Win. That's Pound WIN, Pound 946. John Fricke and Joe Patrick alongside you. I saw a bunch of Swampers just passed us. Smell wasn't great. My IQ dropped about 40 points, but, you know, hey.
You have been on such good behavior, John.
I know.
Until just now.
You know, what I was supposed to figure. Some of the keys to the game include, I think, for the Falcons, getting off to a quick start because, you know, I know it's cliche, Joe, but at the same time, getting the fans into the game,
yeah.
you know, is critical early in the game here where you don't get the groans because you know how it is. This team has yet to win this. This city is not won over. I mean, the Braves could clinch today. Georgia played this phenomenal, incredible, even though they lost, football game last night. Everybody around here talking about the Braves and Georgia, they're not talking about the Falcons who are playing the Saints. You got to make yourself the story.
Agree. And what we've been talking about is, you know, the Falcons need and want to make this place, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, a party atmosphere. And the way you do that is by getting that early lead, by establishing yourself in the game early, getting, you know, that's what kind of brings a lot of that noise, that excitement from the crowd into it. And I thought, frankly, it really helped them a lot in that Chiefs game. They did exactly that in the Chiefs game. They went right down the field, marched down, scored a touchdown, beautiful. And I think that, you know, that game, obviously they didn't win it, but it could have gotten a lot worse. It could have gotten a lot uglier for that defense, especially if they don't have that success on offense and put themselves in a solid position in that first half. So I agree with you. I think it's one of those things where it's always important, but especially in this phase that the Falcons are in now where they're trying to establish this true home field advantage at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with this revamped football team.
Which they haven't done.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
I know.
And Mercedes-Benz Stadium is yet to be that kind of intimidating venue like the Georgia Dome was.
Yeah, and you go back to 2016, 2017, not to bring back a bad memory of a Super Bowl, but then the following year, I think there's some assumption, Joe, by Falcons fans, oh, the 28-3 happened and then we were terrible. No, the next year, they were right back in it. They had first down and goal at the 10-yard line against Philadelphia and in the divisional round, and if they score there, they might go right back to the Super Bowl again, you know, but they didn't. So, but it's been a minute now. That was 2017, the last playoff game you were in. This town has not been excited by this franchise since, and I was so excited because you got Kirk Cousins in the offseason, you brought in a new coaching staff. I really want Raheem to excel today because, and in this year, because I think the franchise needs to have a head coach that becomes their version of Andy Reid or Mike Tomlin, somebody who's going to be with the franchise for a number of years and get off this kind of wheel of coaches we've
right.
been on.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely need to do that. But when we talk about this, you know, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the environment, the atmosphere, what the team's trying to build, I keep going back to that the Matt Ryan quote that he had when the Falcons put out this great video of him when he found out he was being inducted into the Ring of Honor or he would be getting inducted in the Ring of Honor. He spoke in front of the team. Raheem Morris asked him to speak about what it means to be a Falcon, and he didn't even know that this is what, you know, he was referring to, or the reason why he was speaking. He thought he was just giving a speech to a young team, a new team, and what he had to say was really prescient in terms of, like, you got to kind of earn the respect from the fans, but once you do, then they will absolutely be behind you, you know, 110%. And so that's kind of the stage we're at now, which is this team still trying to earn that respect from the fan base.
You know, I think that's a really fair point here because, you know, a lot of people like to talk about late-arriving crowds and you know, I don't know, kind of throwing shade a little bit at the fan base for some reason or not. Look, it's not on the fan base. It's on the franchise.
Yeah.
The franchise has to give you a reason. I mean, you go back to 2016, those two the playoff games against the Seahawks and the Packers, for example. That place at Georgia was nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, and there wasn't a Packer head, cheese head to be found in that game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I remember. I was there.
I know. So now we got all these Swampers are walking by. Oh, my God. You know, flower hat people.
Gross.
You know, it is gross with their fleur-de-lils or whatever the hell they call those things. Anyway, now today the Falcons are going to do – it's like I don't under – you know, next year they could change uniforms. Somebody in Flowery Branch is listening to me. Go back. They're going to wear the red helmets today for the first time this year. Go back to the red helmets.
Yeah, I forgot we haven't talked about them being back in the red helmets today. You know, the throwbacks in general. I mean, they're so clean.
Well, they're not throwbacks. This is, I hate this term. They're not throwbacks. Oh. They're the original. That's what the Falcons
original.
Are, okay? They are the Blackbirds. Okay?
I agree, yeah.
Why are they the Blackbirds? Because the bird on the red helmet is what? Oh, it's black. I grew up with the Blackbirds because that was the team that, you know, they had the black. And then it was Dion came along and they went to the Etch.
Right.
The black helmets with the Etch because of Jerry Glanville and the Man in Black. And I thought, okay, that's cool for like a year. Go back. Oh, no. Then they went to the red. You know, I went, no, we're not the red birds. We're the black. Go back. So if they play well today, if they win today, there's no stopping me. Okay, you got to go back to this permanently. You know, it's funny because I can relate it back to San Diego. The Spanos family, which, of course, the Chargers moved, but for a long time during the Junior Seau era of the San Diego Chargers, they had the dark blue helmets with the yellow Thunderbolt.
I love those.
But they didn't wear the powder blues. Mm. And everybody in San Diego wanted them to go to the powder blues with the white helmets. Mm. And for years they begged the Spanoses to do that. And they didn't want to do it. And they finally knuckled under and gave in. And when they came out in the powder blues with the white helmets, oh, man. They don't play so well, but they look good.
They look good losing. The Falcons will, by the way, be in their red helmets, as you mentioned today. They'll also be in on Thursday against the Buccaneers, so we'll get a full week of the Falcons and their originals, not the throwbacks, but the originals. And yeah, I think there will be something coming in the way of Falcons rebrand. Just my theory. So when you go in their new revamped locker room, there's a lot more red in there. It's essentially the color scheme of the stripe that you'll see on the helmet, which is like the red helmet with the gold and white stripe. There's that same kind of look in the new locker room, and so I kind of think that they might go back to something like that, especially with the helmet.
And a little bit of history, the reason there's a gold stripe on the helmet was because when the Falcons first came out, they realized that the red and black, that was the colors of the Georgia Bulldogs, and Georgia Tech fans were not happy, so in an effort to appeal to Georgia Tech fans, they put a gold stripe on the helmet.
Gold trim. Looks clean.
Yeah. That's where the gold trim came. This portion of the Wait For It Tailgate Show brought to you by Orchard. Sell your home, get paid twice, learn how at orchard.com. We are coming to you from our new location. We moved location. It's the new permanent location. We changed, and we are now in lot 432 off the corner of Northside and Markham. A little bit south of the Friendship Tower, that's the big, tall, 15-story or so red brick tower that's across from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. John Fricke and Joe Patrick with you as Joe's. We count down to our kickoff now at 1 o'clock with Wes and Dave on the call. Network, we're joining the network at the top of the hour with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson. This series dates back to, you know, the fact both teams came in 66, and so it's been the blood feud of the South for forever and a day. And one of the things that I found interesting is that, you know, a lot of Swampers have said to me, well, you know, you guys are the bad guys. And I'm like, yeah, we weren't the team that sent a band onto the field that spelled out 28-3. We weren't the team where but that wasn't endorsed by the team. Oh, really? Well, you know, the team inside the stadium there down at the toilet bowl, they were putting up signs. The team was. To dog the Falcons, okay? So don't tell me that, you know, okay, it's the team that did it, you know? So there's blood feud between these two, and for good reason. And it makes it a lot of fun for me.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the season within the season.
I mean, clearly they're obsessed with the Falcons. They can't stop thinking about us.
I know.
365 days a year. So,
but
you know, we're clearly in their heads.
My first taste of this was back when Archie Manning, not Arch.
Oh, wow.
Not Eli, not Peyton. Archie Manning was the quarterback of the Saints. And so that was my first taste of this. It's been that way ever since. I mean, I go back to Fulton County, and it would be – they'd have the – you know, all the Swampers would show up, you know. And then it's – because it took me a while. Man, you know, there are a lot of people that like to drive up I-85 for a football game, you know. And then I realized after a while, oh, no, they live here.
Right. It's funny. My first memories of the Saints were them being just absolutely terrible when I was a kid. I mean, not absolutely terrible, but just bad.
Oh,
just
no, paper
team.
Bags over
during
your
the
heads.
90s. I mean, they had some good players.
No, they had the paper bags. They were the first with the paper bags.
Yeah, yeah. They had, when were the paper bags? Was that in the 90s? Were they still doing that in the 90s?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Remember, they had some good offensive line. Willie Rofe is one I remember.
Willie Rofe was
a good player.
Yeah,
but
good
other
player.
Than that, there was nothing special about the Saints.
You know, and then, of course, we had the whole Trader Bobby Aber thing going on. So, I mean, I don't want to talk about that.
That's right.
You know? I mean, old Bob's a good guy, but, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, you pick one there, you know.
Right, exactly.
And by the way, he did, and we know which one he picked.
Yeah,
okay,
true.
All right, fine.
True.
Okay. You know, you make yourself known.
You know, you mentioned it earlier in the show, but there is also just an interesting kind of bad blood between some players that are on this Falcons team who came from the Saints, David Onyemata and Caden Ellis. So you would certainly think that there's a little bit extra incentive for them
to get
something
out of this thing. How about Terry
Fontenot? There you go, right there. That's a great point. I hadn't even thought about that. Of course, he was involved. Well, that's a whole longer story. But with regards to the Falcons drafting Penix, Terry Fontenot was kind of involved with the Saints getting one-upped by the Chiefs to get Patrick Mahomes, and then the Chiefs kind of rubbing it in the Saints' nose afterwards. And so that's what kind of led ultimately to Penix years later coming to Atlanta. It's kind of funny how all these things happen, but. You know, love the Chiefs for that one, though.
Mm-hmm.
They really did us a solid there.
Yeah, right, exactly. Patrick Mahomes had ended up in New Orleans. You know, of course, you know, that the Dolphins and Nick Saban didn't do us any favors when Nick Saban kicked Drew Brees out and sent his shoulders back
and
sent him to New Orleans. So that's a no bueno.
Yeah, yeah.
If Nick Saban doesn't kick Drew Brees out and say, no, I'm too worried about his shoulder, I'm not sure Nick Saban ever goes to Alabama.
Wow.
Because Drew Brees
There's a butterfly effect theory.
Well, because Drew Brees becomes a quarterback in Miami with Nick Saban, and they may have had an entirely different Dolphins arc. Remember, he said, I'm not leaving Alabama.
Right.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not leaving for Alabama and staying with Miami.
Yeah.
You know, but if he had Drew Brees, that may have been the case.
True. Yeah.
He may have said, no, I'm good here, you know, so. Yeah, that would have affected. Yeah, it's the
arc of football history. If that
Drew Brees goes here, you know, and you can't blame the Chargers for getting rid of Drew Brees if for no other reason that they had to pick between Drew Brees and Philip Rivers. And at that point in time in his career, Drew was throwing a lot of interceptions. He always did throw a lot of interceptions anyway, but he was throwing a lot. And Chargers fans were like, let's go with this Philip Rivers guy, you know. So, and look, Philip Rivers is a great quarterback. He just never got into the Super Bowl. That's all. I mean. You know, so and this goes back to now today is what we've been talking about. You can't tell with young quarterbacks, which is why Michael Penix was such a good pick here. Now it's up to the Falcons to make it so that when we do get to the Michael Penix era of the Falcons would not be in position to draft a quarterback.
Right.
You know, because that was part of the deal that we're going to go get Michael Penix now because we don't think we'll be in a position to draft a quarterback, you know, high in the draft when it comes time to draft a quarterback. Well, you better make sure that you put yourself in a position where you're not.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, absolutely right.
Because if you're drafted in the top five and you had a chance at some superstar quarterback coming out of college and you're going, maybe you shouldn't have taken it. Okay, now you shoot yourself in the foot. So you got to live up to it. It is the Falcons and the Saints today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show taking you to the network coverage top of the hour. And, of course, to the kickoff, 1 o'clock with Wes Durham and Dave Archer on the call from inside Mercedes-Benz right here on your home of the Falcons Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Go! Let's break it!
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Friggy, Joe Patrick, getting your Sunday off here. Top of the hour. The network coverage kicks in. Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson with the pregame. 1 o'clock kick today, Falcons and Swappers inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This portion of the tailgate show is brought to you by the W Sauce, the official sauce of our tailgate, bigger, better, bolder. Visit the WSauce.com to find a retailer near you, and we are hard by the W Sauce. We got W Sauce, we got V103, we got all the tents set up here, 90-time the game. Here at the new digs here, there were a new location, which is at the corner of Northside and Markham in lot, what they call lot 432. And we encourage you to come on by as people are, they've got the smokers out and firing up all the grills. And, matter of fact, W Sauce got a grill right behind us, and they're putting all that
smells
good.
Great.
All that good
smells really
W Sauce. Yeah, it smells pretty darn good. I'm not going to lie. It smells pretty darn good. All right, so what do you expect today, Joe? Falcons come in here, Saints, I don't know what to expect. It's not like I can tell you, hey, which Falcons team is going to show up because I don't know what. Have I even seen the Falcons team this year?
I know. Yeah. We were talking about this earlier in the show, but it's like one of the things that's been, I think, a little bit of frustrating for Falcons fans so far this year is that they've shown glimpses. You know, they've shown, you know, isolated drives here or there that have been really good. Obviously, one of those came in the most crucial situations possible in the last 2 minutes of a Monday Night Football game that led them to a victory. But They haven't put it together for four quarters yet, this team. And I think that's what everybody's looking for today against the Saints, where you feel like you're going to need a solid four-quarter football game against a division rival and one that's been playing relatively well so far this season, despite them having injuries. So that's what I think we're all looking forward to. But I agree with you. Like, I wish I could just tell people, like, this is – and be confident in knowing this is what we're going to see out of this team schematically and whatnot. But, you know, I think there are a lot of open question marks as to how they're going to be able to perform on a drive-to-drive basis today.
Yeah, and let's talk about drive-to-drive here. Obviously, you know, the most important thing is you get into the end zone. You do things of that nature. You know, if you get into the red zone, you come away with something more than three. All those kind of cliches here. But you mentioned a stat earlier in the show. Falcons 2-9, third downs, first three games, each of the first three games. Maintaining drives, being able during the game today, for example, to go on three long drives, give your defense a rest, control the clock, control the game. It was actually, oddly, one of the things that Arthur Smith was pretty good at.
Yeah,
was long drives, primarily because they ran the ball so well. And so they would go on these long, extended drives where they would eat a lot of clock, shorten the game a little bit. I'm not asking them to shorten the game. I'm asking them just to go on long drives, give the defense rest, and then come away with points and really kind of assert themselves. And in order to do that, you are going to have to be able to run the ball.
Yeah, I mean, last year, even for as much, you know, crap and rightfully so as Desmond Ridder got for the turnovers, the crazy turnovers, the team drove the ball down the field, to your point. Like, they collected yards. That was not a problem for this team, generally speaking. And they did rely on a really dependable ground game to be able to create very convertible third downs, which this team has not had a lot of so far this year. That's been a constant theme with regards to this third down conversion rate. It's like, well, they're not really generating a lot of third and twos, third and threes, third and fours that are a lot more highly convertible. But, yeah, they just need to be more consistent on a drive-to-drive basis. This team just has – this offense has kind of gone to sleep or gone away, especially after the halftime break. I've felt like these three different defensive coordinators that Zach Robinson's kind of been facing in terms of the play callers have gotten the better of him in the third quarters of games so far this season. And it's three of the best coordinators in the NFL when you talk about Vic Fangio or in, you know, Steelers. It's really kind of a Mike Tomlin-led defense. And then last week against Steve Spagnuolo. So I think a good opportunity for him to really kind of put together a more complete game from this team and, just convert those. You feel much more comfortable about this offense once they get down into the red zone and actually being able to convert points and touchdowns than previous versions did. It's just about getting the ball down
there. Not like obvious pass interference in the end zone.
Well, yeah, that helps when those get called. Yeah, that does help. But, yeah. Yeah, generally speaking, you're not as worried about the turnovers, I guess, as you were last year.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about their ability to get into third and manageables, and their ability to convert those.
Right.
You know, on third and shorts. Yep. You know, one of the things I haven't been able to see from this team is their ability to kind of move the pile, so to speak. Like, one of the things that I was screaming about last week was, why wouldn't they use what the – I know it's a different set of quarterbacks, but why wouldn't they use the steal right from the Eagles and use that Eagles? I think it ought to be outlawed. But what the heck? Put, you know, David Onyemata behind Kirk Cousins and just push.
Yeah. It is interesting that they don't have a fullback, and they've been using a lot of two running back stuff when they're in some of these short yardage situations. But you're right, they actually have been not very good in some of these short yardage situations, these third and fourth down situations. Even against the Eagles, they gave the ball back to the Eagles, where the Eagles really shouldn't have given the ball back to the Falcons, but the reason why the Eagles had it was because they didn't convert on a fourth and one.
Correct. Right,
where Bijan Robinson gets stonewalled at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
On the fourth and one.
Who, by the way, shouldn't have even been the wrong guy. You got another guy. You got 25 back there. How about that guy?
That's a great point. Of course, he then gets stuffed the next week against the Chiefs, that then leads to the fourth and one.
True.
That then gets stuffed also. So, but it just goes to the reason I'm pointing this out is because the offensive line has not shown itself this year to be one that's actually like moving that defensive line back a yard and being able to easily gain those yards that you need. And it's really especially more frustrating when you go up against a team like the Eagles and you see how easily they can convert when they've got their little schemed up quarterback sneak that they've got going on there.
Yeah, that
they make it look so easy, and it looks so hard for the Falcons.
Yeah, it's just, third down and one, you would go, okay, but now you're like, third down and one, I don't know. Yeah. Can we make it?
Right.
I'm not real hopeful.
When we talk about this team's identity, I think this is a huge part of it. It's like, what are the Falcons running? When they get in third and three, what are they running? Third and two? Third and one?
I certainly hope it's not like last week and they decided to run, audible at the line to a stretch play.
Right, right. But we were talking to Kirk Cousins before the season started about this and about, like, team identity, what that actually means. And the way he said it is that your team, your identity as what you are, as like at least how we feel as offensive players, is when we're in a gotta-have-it situation, what are we running that we know we're going to run and the defense can know that we're running it and we still are confident and can convert regardless? Like, and I think that that's still where this offense has yet to find itself. I think they've yet to find out what are these kind of bread and butter things that we can really lean on in these crunch time situations that are going to help us, you know, turn losses to wins.
Well, and of course, when you're facing, even if they're a little bit dinged up, and I think we should go back for the benefit of those who are just joining us, Joe, to talking about the injury report again. Both teams are banged up along the offensive line. That'll be a big factor today. Alvin Kamara and Chris Olave are questionable for the game. I do expect both will play, and hopefully maybe not 100%. That'd be a good thing because we have had a lot of problems in the past. Mentioned, you know, in the past trying to contain Taysom Hill. This Saints offense has given us fits in the past because of their speed.
Yeah, and this game could very likely come down to which team has the better offensive line depth, because the Falcons are going to be without two starters today, and Caleb McGarry and Drew Dolman, the center and right tackle. And then the Saints are really without three of their starters when you think back to, like, who would be their starters at the beginning of the season, although Ryan Ramczyk was hurt quite a bit ago. But, you know, they're going to be without their center and guard. So both the interiors are a little bit exploited, and I think it's going to be a good test case, a good litmus test for where this Falcons offensive line depth is. This is one of those things that's – we don't talk about offensive line depth until we get into a spot where you really need it. So we don't really talk about it in the preseason or whatnot. But now is where we're going to find out just how much they've been able to develop these guys.
Counting down to kick off on a Falcons-Saints hate Sunday on the Wait For It Tailgate Show. Back with our predictions of the game in just a moment right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know, Swampers finally woke up and started showing up. And there's a few too many of them, I like them, frankly.
I know. People were complaining about the smell earlier.
Yeah, All-Star was just here. They were rolling on it, and they said, we got to. But then again, Joe, this is not a chicken and egg thing. This is 0-2 at this building this year, and there was a concerted effort in the offseason to say we have to make Mercedes-Benz Stadium a home field advantage. Well, in order to do that, guys, guess what you got to do?
Yeah.
Win.
You got to bring it today. But the fans got to bring it. The players got to bring it. It's got to be one of those symbiotic things, and hopefully you see it, because I think that if you get a big win today, it can be the start of something. I really do. I think that if you win today, you start to roll that into Thursday. You can really roll that into a short week and then really start to build some momentum, especially with these division games.
Yeah, but you got to see some things here. I mean, not just the technical things that you've been talking about, or you and I have been talking about, in terms of, you know, red zone or third down or identity or something. I think you've just got to kind of find a general sense of, hey, this is we're going forward this year. This is not the last 2 years, especially when you came out and played the way you did in the opener and everybody went, oh, my God, it's just like the last 2 years with a different quarterback and a different coach. It's the same thing all over again. And they had an opportunity. That's what hurts so bad in the game against the Chiefs. Had those two opportunities at the end of the game. If they convert, get a call, whatever, if they win that game and you're 2-1, I think the whole vibe here would be different with Falcons fans.
Just absolutely.
Totally different.
Absolutely. You're going to get so much buy-in. Like we were talking about earlier, it's like the players got to give it, but then, you know, once you earn it from the fans, they give it back to you, and that's what this is all about. You know, they've had a couple opportunities, some difficult tests that they've had at Mercedes-Benz Stadium where they've come up just short. This is one where you feel like you can't come up short against this team.
All right, final picks of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. I am loathe to try to, I certainly want the Falcons to win. I'm more interested here, kind of less interested in who's going to win. I don't know that I have a trust factor yet with this Falcons team. They've come up short in endgame situations twice. They came up huge in an endgame situation once. Likely going to come down to an endgame situation again today. So which Falcons team, that's the Falcons, which one shows up? The Philadelphia endgame situation where they were brilliant on offense, special teams, and defense, bang, 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 or the one that we failed twice against Kansas City and kind of flamed out in the interception when they had a chance down 5 against Pittsburgh. So I don't know which one shows up. I'm kind of curious from your standpoint, Joey, if you want to pick the game, you can. Do you expect this to be a 23-17 game, or do you expect it to be, I don't know, 33-30?
I don't think it will be that high scoring, but I think that both teams will have some impressive plays, some explosive plays. I mean, I think that the Saints offense has been explosive so far this season, so I think the Falcons, like, you know, like, I think they're going to win. I hope they're going to win. Like, frankly, I hope they win. But, you know, I think it's going to be a close game. I don't expect the Saints team to roll over by any means. And, you know, these teams have both been playing close games. Well, not the Saints, but, you know, they play close games against the Eagles. I think it just shows you that these two teams are very similar in talent.
Well, one of the things we haven't seen with the Falcons, they've been playing from behind all year. So what happens if the Falcons do get out to a quick start?
Right.
How do they maintain, how do they defend a lead, which is something they really haven't had this season?
Yeah, yeah. They hardly have been playing with leads. So it's going to be very important. If they can do that, then I think that that puts them in very good stead. That puts them kind of in the driver's seat of this game, and they will be able to dictate the tempo instead of the other way around.
Well, it should be another fascinating edition of Hate Week here between the Falcons and the Saints. And again, a reminder, a short week here because the Bucs will be here Thursday night for Thursday night football. So five days, two games, both NFC South showdowns, and a huge critical week. Yeah, it's really an important part of the season for the Atlanta Falcons because it sets up everything that's going to happen, because we're going to be here week 16, week 17, week 18 going, boy, back in, you know, late September, early October, those games now, and how do they reflect on the end of the year?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. And, you know, I think also from a narrative standpoint for this Falcons team, if they are kind of like out in front of the NFC South, I think that, you know, there's going to be a lot more respect paid to them throughout the league from pundits and talking heads and things like that. And that's the kind of good vibes that you want to have as a fan. I know it doesn't really matter on the field, but from a fan standpoint and enjoying your team, that always helps. So, I mean, it's obviously there's so many positive outcomes that would extrapolate from having won this game, and if they can win next week as well, or next week.
Yeah, on Thursday.
Week five.
Yeah, right. No, I mean this week. Yeah, two games this week, right, yep. Exactly. All right, stand by. We're going to join the network at the top of the hour. Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson on the network pregame show. Wes and Dave on the call of the game, and a reminder, the Falcons flyover with Rob Tribble after the game is over, and your chance to react to it. Stand by for coverage of the Falcons and Saints round number one of Hate Week. That begins coming up right here on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92 on the game.